Good morning, everyone. Welcome to the Registry Operator Roundtable. Can you please fill the yellow box? Because this will be an unconference session, and you will be the ones deciding on the topics you want to discuss and talk today with the Registry Services team and also some other members from ICANN staff.
Just to be clear, too, I think you guys all know this, but the yellow papers, the purpose of them is to write down the topics you want to discuss. So it's helpful to figure out what we should talk about.
We have 75 minutes, so I will be spending the first 10 minutes to select the topics you want to talk about. Also, the participant in the remote in the chat room, can you please write down the topics you want to discuss? Thank you. So while you are writing down the topics, let me introduce myself. My name is Ayşe Gültekçe. I am from the Registry Services Department. Welcome to this Registry Operator Roundtable session on the last day of the conference and early in the morning. Thank you. So this session will have an unconference format, which is like we don't have any preset agenda. So you are, the audience is in the room. You will be deciding on the topics and also... we are welcoming the remote participants to share their topics with us. And once we collect the topics from you, you will be ranking them with your votes. So we will come up with an agenda, and then we will be discussing the topics. So I will give you a couple of minutes, and then we will start. Thank you. My friend Mert, my colleague, he is collecting your papers. In the meantime, let me introduce my team here. I have here from the Registry Services Department Krista with me, Valerie. there is from ICANN staff Francisco and Lynette, and I see Negar and Aaron from GDD Operations in the room from ICANN staff. Oh, sorry, Leanne, sorry, I didn't see you, sorry.
And Russ.
You're hiding. For the newcomers to the room, can you please write down the topics you want to discuss during this session? Thank you. Okay, I think we'll be starting shortly. So we have 5 topics so far. I don't see anything in the chat room. Okay, the first one is changing registry backend. The format of this session will be, I will be just reading out the topics here, and then I want you to raise your hand if you want to discuss that certain topic. So this will be the agenda of the day. So the first one is changing registry backend. How many of you want to discuss this topic, talk about this topic? And for the remote participants, please raise your hands if you want to vote for this topic. Can you please one more time vote? I couldn't count, sorry. 12 so far. Anyone in the remote? 12. Oh, sorry, one person in the room. 13. The other topic is ICANN monitoring of DNS, WHOIS, and EPP. Is it SLA monitoring?
Yeah, SLA monitoring.
SLA monitoring. Oh, how many of you want to discuss this topic?
Good.
Four.
Anyone in the chat room? Four.
There's one in the chat.
Sorry, 5. Mm-hmm. Next topic is navigating all things RDDS. All things. Okay, one person. Anyone in the chat room? One person. Planned maintenance notifications.
Just to make sure, I want to make sure everybody understands the topic. And I don't know who submitted it, but is this about ICANN's the plan made out and discussing that?
Yeah, that we have we send to the ICANN, but the ICANN call us what happened. But we are sure sending the notification this time of this day we do a maintenance, but the ICANN call us emergency happened, so that I like to. Sure that
so it's your, it's the registry's plan maintenance notifications to ICANN, not ICANN's notifications about our systems having maintenance.
Yes.
About registry operator maintenance systems. Yes. Okay, thank error maintenance notification.
So how many of you want to discuss this topic?
5, 6, 7.
Anyone in the other room? Open. Oh, I think this is the same. Access to the ICANN monitoring system to the Barrows?
Zabbix, which is the provider, and then Barrows, the back-end registry operators.
Oh, okay.
To the RSPs.
Ask him if he can explain it. Can you please explain?
It was promised by ICANN that the back-end operators also have access to the Zabbix system so that they can compare what ICANN monitors and what the own monitoring system shows. I think it was Los Angeles 1 year ago.
Yeah, the API, which is in pilot. So, yes, to the API of the SLA monitoring system.
Is this same with the SLA monitoring suggestion?
Perhaps it can be coupled.
So, yeah, it's, we can, I think, put it under SLA there. Monitoring. Okay.
Do they want to vote again?
So, do you want to, the people who vote for SLA monitoring, do you want to vote again to also this topic? Can you please vote one more time? Okay, thank you. So we will add, yeah. So, so far we have four topics. Before we start, are there any other topics you want to discuss? I'm asking this question for specifically the ones who just entered the room or recently entered the room. I'm taking it as no. Okay, let's start then. So we have four topics. So our priority will be changing registry backend, and then we have SLA monitoring, and registry operators planned maintenance maintenance notification, and then all things are DDS. So we have four topics. I just ranked them per the votes we received so far. So we have 60 minutes. I also want to... if now that we have 60 minutes, I think we can have 10 to 15 minutes for each topic. But please let me know and let us let's discuss how many minutes do you want to discuss a certain topic. For example, for changing registry backend operator, is 15 minutes or 10 minutes okay for you, or do you want to discuss more and spend less time for another subject? So I will just voting for the minutes you want to discuss a certain topic. So changing registry backend, is 15 minutes okay for you? Any objections? Okay, 15 minutes. SLA monitoring, 15 minutes. I'm taking this as yes. registry operators plan maintenance notification, 15 minutes. And I think all things are DDS, so 15 minutes, and it's making 60 minutes. So who wants to start with the changing registry backend topic? What are your discussion points? What do you want to discuss? What do you want to ask? Please also introduce yourselves for the record. Thank you.
Ronald Schwertzler, Wien. I did this this point. We did the contracts with our registry backend provider 3 years before, when there were much higher hopes or expectations. I think things have come to reality, but this... let's say the monetary aspect of our registry backend provider contract is not that fine as we would expect it to be. And recently we got many offers for just changing the registry backend provider because they could do it cheaper, better, whatever. So this is normal in a working environment. So what is it about if I would like to change my registry backend provider from ICANN side? Is it just clicking a box? It is going through a pre-delegation test again or even a re-evaluation. So just that we know whether we should consider changing a registry backend provider from my point of view, mainly for financial reasons, not because it's not working. Yeah? So probably this is different. We could split it. If you have some technical problems, it probably is a different approach than it's just doing because of monetary reasons.
Hi, this is Lynette Nardone. So we just recently published our MSA, our Material Subcontracting How-To Guide. We now have an assignment page on ICANN.org as well, where you have all information about how to actually change the back end. There's also our AAF, our assignment. Oh, my gosh, it's too early to have. No, it's not assignment. It's not. Thank you. Application form. Pardon me. Again, haven't had coffee yet. But it, kind of in a nutshell, I just don't want to direct you there. In a nutshell, it really does depend on several factors. So is there are several factors. Depending on where the TLD is in the actual kind of, like, has it been delegated? Are there registrants? Are there who you're actually changing to as far as your registry service provider? You know, there is technical testing that could be involved as well. So it just depends on where exactly you are in kind of the life cycle of the TLD. So what I would recommend is, you know, again, I don't want to just point you there, but there is a lot of information that was just published there, and you can get really detailed information. And certainly what we do also request is that at any point in time, just to send in an inquiry so that we can do just like a consultation call or kind of tee up everything in line so that we can ensure that it's an easy transition and nothing is, you know, forgotten or lost in the actual transition itself.
Good morning. Can I also ask a more specific question, which is if you are in GA and you're moving from one of the large providers to another one of the large providers, has that been done before? Part one. And part two, for that very specific example, could you perhaps just through just for a couple of minutes what's entailed?
So thanks for the questions. And I think, Brett, you have a question or a comment as well. Krista Papik for those in the remote participation from ICANN staff. So just to make sure everybody has the same sort of level set, in the registry agreement, if you're making a change to a material subcontractor arrangement, is where the MSA acronym comes from, you're required to notify ICANN and get material. So subcontracting arrangements, it's only those that are material. They're deemed to be material, the definition in the contract, if they relate to one or more of the five critical functions. So if you're changing the people that clean your office building, we don't care. that's the good news. If you're changing your back end or DNS provider or something, we do care. And I think maybe, Aaron, would you be willing to step us through kind of some key points of the step-by-step process? Aaron is our director of GDD operations, and it's his team that processes the requests that come in. Before he does that, I just want to sort of support what Aaron, Lynette was saying. I'm also not awake, by the way. Is there anybody else in this room that's not awake yet? A couple. Okay, good. so we did just publish a how-to guide on this. It's meant to be helpful guidance. It also contains the form you need to complete and submit to ICANN. And we are looking for feedback from folks. So folks like yourself, Ronald, that are considering this are great people to look at the how-to guide, because there's others that have been through this process and they kind of understand it a little better. If you haven't been through it, and you're looking at our how-to guide for the first time, you're the people we want to make sure understand it. We want everyone to, no offense to others who've been through it, but your input would be helpful. And we can put the link up in the chat so you know where to find the how-to guide.
Just as Ronald, Ronald Schwarzl again. So just to make you aware of, I think, a wave this is coming. I've never been approached before in the past meetings by companies, hey, don't you want to change your backend provider? So now that we're in general availability, we are over the most, let's say, critical or time-consuming work. We are somehow in normal mode of operation. And then there is an industry out there that says, hey, I can do it better at a better price and something like this. I've got, without a request, four meetings here in Dublin where registry backend providers asked me to come and say, hey, change to my side, etc. So this is something I want to make you aware. This seems to be a way where it's going the next, let's say, month, that you will be approached by registries that are in good shape. They don't have any compliance issues or something like that. But just to switch to another already well established, let's say this is should be the most easiest and the most common. And we hope or expect that it should somehow be just clicking a box, issuing a case at your side and say, okay, we know this one, we know you, so anything should be fine, doing a short test. And this would be the ideal case.
Well, we'll see what we can do about that. Aaron Hickman, ICANN staff. Let's use the example of, I think you both have been speaking to a delegated TLD that has registrations, because I think that's tends to be becoming the common case, and it is one of the more complex situations. I think Lynette started to talk about the mechanics of it. We do suggest that whenever you're considering this kind of change, you reach out to us first and foremost. We really like work with people informally before you get into the formal notification process. It's never as straightforward as you might think, so we are more than willing to have a call to discuss the particulars of your situation. But that being said, we do require a form. The form is a little bit lengthy, but it does take you through the process of all the things you need to consider as part of the material subcontracting arrangement change process. At a high level, for a delegated DLD with registrations, one of the key things that you need to come up with is a transition plan. You need to have that approved by ICANN. The other sort of pillar that you need to have is pre-delegation testing needs to occur for the new RSP. So even if that's someone who's known in the industry, that still needs to occur, because just like with regular pre-delegation testing, everything needs to be set up for your particular TLD in that new environment and verify. So once those two things occur, then we get to the point of filling out the form, providing us some ancillary documentation, and then submitting that through the GDD portal. That's sort of the high level. I don't know how much, if there's specific questions, we can certainly dig into that, but that's sort of the key highlights of this.
That's very helpful. Thank you. And have you done it before?
We definitely have.
Several times.
Several times.
Yeah.
Recently.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Thank you very much.
Absolutely.
So I just want to add one more thing to the informal. So for those of you who haven't seen the how-to guide, to Aaron's point about sort of the informal interaction with ICANN. So your contract says you need to give us 30 days advance notice. But because of things like testing and maybe all of the transition plan, sometimes 30 days is not enough time. So you can submit a formal request right away, but if we can't get through the processes, like the testing, like the review of your transition plan, which is dependent on you as well, we would withhold our consent and ask you to resubmit later. So the reason we ask you to engage with us informally at the outset is, one, to Aaron's point, it is a complicated process. We've been working to make it less complicated. We've made some headway on that, but we're still working on it. Some of you have heard me say this many times. It's by far the hardest thing that we do. And, you know, as we do them, we learn more, we better, you know, make the process better, easier, more efficient. And again, we still have work to do, but we're making a lot of headway. So that informal engagement helps us work with you to set your expectations, to make sure you are aware of the things that you have to do and that we need to do, so we can work together to lay out a timeline as well. And just to make sure you understand that the various moving parts that will be required for your specific request. So again, we do that informally, and then when the formal submission comes, it enables it to just go through smoothly.
I'm Stana Grether from Dot Global. Is there anything in your experience saying that this process can be done faster than the estimate of time you had today? I had a very interesting discussion yesterday with some guys from the PDT group, and they told me that there was no difference in the process and their way of working with a transition plan and a non-delegated TLD. And I see that this is an element where we can actually save some time, and it can be a different information flow between ICANN and PDT testers to save time. I think that in the long run, this is critical for the business, that you need to have a good estimate of the time it takes to change any backend provider, and it has to be as short still dealing with the overall requirements.
Steiner, it's Krista Papik. Yeah, so our goal is to make it as short as possible. We're not there yet. Again, it's getting better. I'm not sure if I understand the your comments related to the testing, the PDT testing part of it. But we it's getting shorter. I mean, they're definitely going smoother. And again, we still see areas for opportunity to improve, and we're working on those. And the team's just been doing a fantastic job getting us to a better place. And with that work continues, and it's always going to be a little bit hard, this, especially the back end change. And if it's a delegated TLD operations, we all want to make sure we're doing our diligence and doing the right things and trying not to do the wrong things, but also working within what the contract says and what the registry transition process. So it's getting shorter, but we're not all the way there yet.
This is Russ Weinstein from ICANN staff. One of the things I noticed that extends the timeline or causes some hiccups during the back-end change is different registry service providers offer the critical function, like is searchable is being supported on both back-end providers, are the IDN language tables being supported on both back-end providers, are the variant, if they have IDNs, are they managing variants in the same way? And so that's something to keep in mind, I think, for the providers and know that up front so that you can buy those things as needing to change in your contract along with the change of provider.
Brett Fawcett from Union Registry. We're going through this now. We're moving HIV from the Avilius backend to our backend. We'll be doing it again next month with another TLD. We actually haven't solicited either of these, so if the gentleman over there wants to take a fifth meeting, I'm happy to talk to you. I want to just echo something that Aaron said, which was the importance of the early meeting. I found that with the one that we're going to do now, the HIV transition, having an early discussion with our technical people and your technical people on the transition plan was very helpful. And I think those discussions are helpful because if you don't have them live, then you're doing the back and forth with the portal, uploading, getting a response, responding to it. And if you can just get in a room together or on the phone together and talk, I think you can cut out many days of the portal back and forth. So that'd be my recommendation.
Can I also ask, does ICANN require the consent of the departing registry operator? Back end.
So the registry operator, who's the contracted party, is the primary contact, like all of your transactions with us.
Right.
So the registry primary contact for the registry operator of the TLD is the party that has to request the change and is authorized to request the change to move from one back end to another.
Right, so the back end operator, you don't require that.
They're not a contracted party to us.
Departing back end operator.
Correct.
Right.
Mark Anderson from VeriSign. You mentioned the transition plan a couple of times. I was wondering if you could elaborate a little bit on what goes into the transition plan and what kind of things you're looking for in the transition plan?
Can let Francisco answer. This is Krista again. Francisco can address that. But what I will tell you is, in our handy-dandy how-to guide, there's a section of it, an appendix, I think it's an appendix, that lays out what we want to see in the how-to guide. So it's kind of a point-by-point with a sentence or two describing what each point is and what we're looking for. But maybe you can give us some high-level points.
Sure. Good morning, everyone. This is Francisco Arias. So the transition plan is expected to cover the detailed steps that are going to be taken to transition all the critical DNS, DNSSEC, EPP, RDS, data escrow. And we look at the transition plan to make sure that what is being proposed makes sense and it covers all the aspects. For example, if we are looking at DNSSEC, that we see that there is a plan for the key rollover that is not going to break chain of trust from the root. And remember, you have an emergency threshold in your contract for hours. So if you were to break the chain of trust with a poorly planned rollover, well, you don't want to be in that situation. So so in summary, we're looking at the detailed steps of going to do the migration from each of the critical functions. I don't know if that makes sense or are you interested in more detail, Mark?
No, that's good. Thank you.
Crescent is Equi from Validaeus. I just wanted to ask, is the fact that a registry operator is going through the material subcontracting assignment process, will that be a sort of sufficient basis to excuse that operator's failure to meet the one-year delegation deadline if they were still within that sort of time frame? Thank you.
This is Russ again from the GTLD program team. Our general expectation is no, it's not a good excuse to miss that contractual obligation. Certainly, we can, the more information we can get up front, the better, and we can get you as close to that 12 months if it's absolutely infeasible. But I think the baseline is no, you really got to try and get to that 12 months.
Anything else on this subject? Yeah, let's move to the other topic we have, which is SLA monitoring. Who wants to go first?
Mark Anderson from VeriSign. This is one I submitted, so I'll start. I guess I was just wondering if you'd give a little update on, you know, how SLA monitoring is going. I know there's recently been an API put out for beta where registry operators can queue the system and get more information. I was hoping maybe you could expand on that a little bit. And also my understanding is currently there's only Whois and DNS monitoring. I was hoping you can give an update on, you know, where things are with PIDL EPP monitoring. Thank you.
Okay, so I'll start with the second question. So yes, it's true. We are only monitoring DNS and RDS at the moment. To be clear, when I said DNS, I mean also DNSSEC. We chain of trust is not broken. And everything is properly signed. We are not currently monitoring EPP. There is not even the plan, it's the idea. It's in a long-term roadmap, let's say, but there is still no clear timeline when we are going to get to that. There are still more development that needs to happen in regards to the existing services that are being monitored before we can take on EPP. And this has come up with a few registers in individual conversations. I just wanted to say it here when I bigger audience that whenever we are ready to start planning for monitoring EPP, we would like to work with you. We understand EPP is not as simple as monitoring public services like DNS and Whois. Or RDS, I should say. We need to work with you, and we are going to need to adapt to the different things registries may be doing. EPP is a service that may vary from registry to registry. You may have different extensions, different automats, etc. So once we are ready to start monitoring EPP, we are going to work with you. That would be the plan. But like I said, there is still no timeline on when that will. Regarding the first question, yes, indeed, we have a pilot for the API of the SLA monitoring. It's available to any registry that would like to have access. If you're interested, submit a GDP port case, and we'll work through to give you access to this API. Memory serves, VeriSign is already in the pilot, and you have been providing in that. And the plan with the pilot is to have it running at least until the end of the year, and depending on how things go, we can then give access to everyone, and also with proper SLA for the You guys have access to the system with reliability services really there, so that you can rely on it. For now, it's pilot, so we might take the system down from time to time to make changes according to the feedback we receive or mine or things like that.
Any other comments? There were seven people talk about the LSA monitoring, and now
you just mentioned that there's a beta for the API. Is this correct?
Yes, correct.
Okay.
For what it's worth, I talked with Lydia, so and I think we're already working with you guys to have access.
Oh, sorry, I didn't know this.
Anyone else?
Can I ask a question? Is there anybody who's using the beta that wants to talk about their experience with it? I actually heard some really good feedback from someone, which is why I brought it up. But I think that people have had some really good experience using the beta. So,
yeah, I just know anecdotally from our tech people that they love it. And the idea is that, for those of you who don't know, that you'll get the information in real time that ICANN's getting. So you'll know, you don't have to wait on the SLA. You'll get the data that they're getting, and you can self-remedy before you get the SLA notice. So a great concept.
Any other person who wants to speak about SLA monitoring? So our third topic is registered operators' plant maintenance notification. Please go ahead.
This is Atsushi Endo from JPRS. I raised these topics, and our understanding is the registry operator, the registry service provider, has to send the notification that they're doing the plant maintenance, doing before 24 hours prior to the maintenance, and after, and I can reply that with the ticket number. And what happens to us is we send it and we receive the ticket, but on the timing of the maintenance or emergency contact, receive the phone call. So this is what we don't expect, and we like to happen. We don't want to happen this again. So what's the ICANN's inside procedure about the notification and the monitoring? So and this, what we'd like to discuss about this. Thank you.
This is Francisco. Yes, you're right. We are lacking there a mechanism to stop the alerts. And so if you reach the first threshold, 10%, then you will be contacted. We are working on developing an automated solution to stop that. The plan and to have a functionality in the RRI, the API that you have to submit the monitoring reports, and in that you will tell us this is my maintenance window, and then that will make us stop the alerts. What we are planning is only to stop the first threshold, the 10%. We were thinking you get to 25%, perhaps that's such a long maintenance window that we better tell you that your service is getting approaching the emergency threshold independently if you have notified us of this maintenance window. So that's something that is coming, and hopefully that will solve the issue.
Anyone who wants to talk about this topic? Okay. So our last topic is all things RDDS. Who wants to start?
It's Mark Anderson from VeriSign again. This one was mine as well. I just threw this out there because there's a lot of things going on within the ICANN community related to RDDS, sort of the umbrella for who is and RDAP. And frankly, I have trouble keeping track of them all, and that's kind of my job. So I just threw that out there as a discussion topic, and maybe gave ICANN staff the opportunity to maybe talk about that and maybe consolidating or at least coordinating some of those who is and RDDS related efforts.
Thanks, Mark. This is Krista Papik from ICANN staff, and Francisco probably has some things to add to the. How do we have this? We do have it written up, all things RDDS. It's actually how we refer to it internally as well. So you're on message. We've been working actually for a while to coordinate all things RDDS. It came, I think, actually from discussions with registries, registrars, and actually even the GAC, I think, brought it up about a year and a half ago at an ICANN meeting that they had concerns. There's so much going on with, I can't get used to calling it RDDS, so much going on with the who is, and, you know, we should make sure that we're paying attention because the multiple projects that are going on or in different stages of being in flight. And so we actually put together a roadmap, which I think was also requested by the GAC. Might have even been GAC advice. But kind of trying to show where the different projects are and how they sort of fit into the big picture. So internally, we've had an effort for at least a year, if not longer, to really make sure that we're paying close attention. And not that we weren't paying attention, but we want it to be more coordinated and all the teams that are impacted by the various RDDS projects kind of understand where they fit in the map. I don't know if we published that this meeting, but we've been publishing kind of updates on that periodically. So that's kind of the big picture. The other thing that we've been doing, and this came out of requests from you guys to us, and us being sort of the services team and the tech services team, was coordinating the implementation projects. So this is all the different projects in the big picture. Some of them are just sort of a brainchild stage. Some of them are in a policy development stage, and many of them are in implementation or nearing implementation, which has operational impact to you guys. So we've been doing from the implementation operational side of things, we've been coordinating RDDS implementation projects to make sure that we can bundle them where it makes sense. So you're not constantly in these crazy development cycles that you don't understand when they're going to occur or what's coming. So there's been an effort, and we've actually done this in a couple of different instances, or in the projects that have that we've asked you to implement or that we're going to be asking you to implement. We've been coordinating them and bundling them as they relate to RDDS. The other thing we did is we implemented I'm using implement a lot. We rolled out an implementation sort of life cycle or whatever. So we try to only ask you to do implementations February 1st and August 1st, every 6 months. And February 1st and August 1st are sort of the dates that we target. So we give you a minimum of 6 months notice. And that 6 months has to be before either a February 1st or an August 1st. So for example, if it's the middle of March and we have something we need you to implement, we would try not to. There might be some urgent thing going on, but so far we haven't had that. We would ask the implementation to occur at the next window at least 6 months out. So that March example would mean that we would ask you to implement February 1st of the following year. So there's been quite a bit of effort on our side to make this as painless as possible for you guys, and also to just make it be... have it make sense and sort of be rationalized to give you guys enough time to get it in your development pipelines and do the work that you need to do. And I don't know, Francisco, you have anything to add to that or if there's follow-up questions?
Oh, thank you. I think you covered it pretty well.
Okay, now that we covered all the topics, we have another one. SPIC 11 advisory. Okay, please, Crystal.
Crystal Ando from Donuts. Here comes Yasmin. What's the timing on the Spec 11 advisory?
Thanks. Krista Papik from ICANN. Yes, so thanks for the question, Yasmin. We are... I did mention I wasn't awake yet, correct? so thanks for the question, Crystal. So we're working on the advisory. It is it's taken us longer than we expected, which happens sometimes. We're hoping to have kind of an outline, I would call it. So it's really bullet points, like kind of a – I don't want to use framework because it's related to another project that's on this sort of area. But it's an outline. I think of like high school and when I would have to do an outline of the paper I was going to write. So we're expecting to have an outline sometime next month. We'd like to have a draft to share with the registries by the end of the year. It would be ready – sorry, let me say that differently. We hope to have a somewhat final draft for us internally by the end of the year. And then we would want to share that with the registry sometime in January. I'm thinking mid-January, people come back from the holidays. And what we'd probably do is send it out to you guys in early January and then schedule a discussion call sometime in mid-January. So that's our current timeline.
Crystal Ando again. When you say share with the registries, do you mean let us review it privately before it's published, or do you mean... published to the world, and then we talk about it.
Yeah, no, this is Krista. No, we want to, we did this with the WHO's clarifications, actually, but you guys forgot that we shared it with you. but yeah, we want to follow that same process. We're like, here's what we're thinking. So outline is to be, give you an idea of where we're going. And then the draft that we would share in January would be to say like, hey, here's what we're thinking of publishing. And then it would get published sometime after that. And I guess the thing I would ask of you guys is to sort of be thinking ahead that this is, you'll see the outline in November and you'll know that you're getting it sometime in January, but to be thinking ahead about making some, you know, keeping some time reserved to take a look and give us your thoughts.
Great. Thank you.
Yasmin Omanusta. So just wanted to clarify the Spec 11 advisory. With respect to the purpose of the advisory, that it's not ICANN's interpretation of the of Spec 11.3b, and that interpretation won't be imposed on registry operators, and it's just a, hey, this is how you may be able to do it, not this is how you should, and not this is how you must.
So thanks for the question, Crystal. I'm just kidding. Yasmin. Krista Pfaffik again. So yeah, the purpose of the advisory is, maybe if I can just explain for folks who may not know, we've gotten questions over time about Spec 11.3b, and the language is, it's not super specific. So it says you must do periodic technical analysis. You must keep reports. We can ask for them. And some registries, not all, have said, well, what is periodic and what is technical analysis, et cetera. And they've been looking to ICANN to say what, you know, could you just tell us if we do these five things? And I'm oversimplifying it because it's easier for me to understand. But if we do these five things, ICANN, just tell us what five things you want, and we'll just do them. And we just want to know we'll be in compliance, and we don't have to think about this much. So the advisory is really to do that. And to get specifically to your point, because I know there's a lot of concern about this, the purpose of the advisory is to say, here is a way that you could do your technical analysis and your periodicity and all of those things. If you do it this way, you would be presumed to be in compliance with Specification 11, Section 3B. If you do it another way, it would just work the way it has been working, meaning many of you will know, will have been through this, but compliance may have asked you what you're doing for Spec 11.3b. You would have said, here's what we're doing. They evaluate that and say, you know, okay, thanks, or it seems like this isn't, you know, right. So it, again, it's a way that you can fulfill your Spec 11.3b requirements, but there are many other ways that you can fulfill them as well. And those would just be evaluated one-off if you had a compliance complaint or if you were subject to audit or something like that. So I hope that helps clarify.
Sorry, Crystal, no follow-up question. I believe that Spec 11.3b is part of our audits. So are you looking at what people have responded to in those audit periods to form your draft?
Yeah, absolutely. We're looking at that. Krista Pfaffik again. We've looked at that. We're looking at also the not related-ish framework, the security framework project that's going on. Some of the questions we asked initially, people gave us feedback that could inform what people could do for Spec 11B. So yeah, we're looking at all the data sources that we have to help inform the draft.
We have 15 minutes left, and we covered all the topics so far. Are there any other topics you want to discuss? Anyone in the Adobe room? Please.
Brett Foster from the Unit Registry. you all were going to update the CZDS portal at some point. What is the status of the update to that and the feature set that you're adding? And
thanks, Brett. It's Krista. Yeah, so we're looking at that. Also taking longer than expected. We think it's a bigger project than we initially thought. So there's an effort going on inside inside the company. The product manager, the technical product manager for CZDS, is not looking just at updating feature sets, but looking at the whole platform. I know a lot of you have commented recently through various ways or let us know that you're getting a lot more requests, usage is going up. So I think it's CZDS is getting bigger faster than we expected, and we're thinking that we need to reconsider how we're scaling it and what we're doing. So the feature sets are coming more slowly because we're looking at the entire platform rather than just adding new bells and whistles. I don't have a timeline for that yet, but let's make sure that we figure out what that is and get you guys some more information.
Chris Melendo, Donuts. Are you monitoring CZDS? So we internally took our numbers, and the spike is huge this last month, last 4 weeks. I mean, it was more than 10 times what we've gotten before on a daily basis. So I'm not sure where it's coming from. I know I'm not the only registry that's experiencing that. But when I did raise it to ICANN, they asked me for all the data, but CZDS is your tool. So I'm pulling data off your tool, or my tech team is, which seems like, okay, if I'm looking at it, are you not looking at it?
Sure. So thanks, Crystal. It's Krista. We do look at it. It doesn't have quite the functionality on our side as like, that's one of the things we're looking at. Again, it's, I don't know. I wasn't at ICANN when it was initially being planned, so I'm not sure how the business requirements were developed, and we're certainly a much different company now. We didn't expect to need to have some of these tools. So that's another thing. We'd like to be able to have more visibility. I know we're asking people for information, and unfortunately we don't have the ability to, we can see some things, but not a lot of the things we'd like to be able to see. So it's one of the things we're looking at adding from our side as well.
Sorry, another follow-up. Would you consider, I know CZDS, it hasn't been an issue for us. Our registries, they get compliance notices based on when they respond. Maybe this is a topic for later today, but given the volume, do you loosen your time expectancies for responses on a registry? I guess I can follow up with Maggie later.
I would encourage you to ask a question in the compliance session as well. So the contract doesn't currently define the response time, which has been a challenge, and it's one of the things that you guys will know, I think, is in the draft changes to the base agreement. There's a timeline that's been put in there. I don't know what Maggie would consider. I do know that in general, compliance tries to approach things with a, hey, what's going on? You know, tell us your timeline approach. So as long as you're responsive, they're usually pretty collaborative, and it is a challenge, because there's no specific time. It's not time bound in the contract, which it should be, because then, you know, after 10 days, I am late or I'm not, you know, as opposed to we're sort of like, hey, we've got a complaint. Can you please go deal with it? So, ask her.
Any other topics? Great. Krista, do you want to wrap up?
Thanks, Ajiko. Krista Papik. So, yeah, just thank you guys for attending. And I don't know if the lack of topics and discussion is because it's too early, which I'm going to talk to them about not making this meeting so early, or if that means just, or if the discussion on transition is just taking everybody's attention, or if things are actually going a little more smoothly for you. But we appreciate just having the candid, open dialogue, and this is a helpful session for us. But it needs to be good for you guys too. And so, if you think it's not good or you think it's good or whatever, we would appreciate that feedback as well. And, just thanks to everybody. Yasmin.
Just a final point. I think certainly from our point of view, from an operational perspective, things are a lot more smoother. And we had our lovely engagement manager, Valerie, visit our offices recently, and that engagement was great. We were able to show, we were able to provide Valerie with some insight of the, the operational aspect, where certain teams lie, and the mechanics of operating various new GTLDs. So, yeah, that's just some positive feedback for a change.
So thanks for thanks for actually bringing that up. It's you guys, some of you have heard me say this, but we have just rolled out. Valerie and Lynette have each taken a trip, but we're sort of going to the next phase of engagement, if you will. So now that we have sort of gotten through some of the initial steps of building a team and getting people onboarded and trained, we're starting to now shift our focus more externally. So your engagement managers will be coming to see you as I like to say, they're going to come visit you in your natural habitat, which has happened to Yasmin, and, you know, just get to know you a little better, kind of get a little bit of experience from you or what your days are like. You can have a dialogue with them about whatever your challenges are, questions, et cetera, but you can do it in your natural habitat. So you will be hearing from them, and this will be an ongoing thing, but we're just rolling it out right now. So thanks for that, for bringing that up, because it's I think it's a great thing. I hope that they're excited. I hope you guys are excited. And I also want to thank you for the feedback on improved operations. And that's certainly thanks to these folks over here from the staff that are our operations team and know how to make those things go more smoothly. So thank goodness for them. And I don't know if anybody has anything else, but if not, thank you so much for your time today. And I hope everybody has a safe trip home.
Thank you, everyone.